Thanks for joining us for another inspiring message from City Harvest Church, Orange County. To find out more information about City Harvest, please visit chcus.org. You can also follow us on your favorite social media platform by typing in CHCUS.
There's the presence of God here while we praise and worship God. Amen. But what I'm going to share with you will require you to really dig deeper. And stay with me as we track along together with God through the word. Let's pray. Shigiri andara bahari andara bahaya. Shagara bahari andara bahande. Kirio shigiri andara bahaya. Father, right now, O God, Lord, I submit every man, every woman under the sound of my voice over under your authority right now. We invite the Holy Spirit to come and illuminate every mind, Lord, to penetrate our heart, to cause revelation to come and understanding, oh God, Lord, to come into our lives. We thank you right now, oh God, Lord, rule and reign over this atmosphere that your people may rise up and be healed and come to a greater level of health, authority, and anointing in Jesus' name. And all God's people say,
amen.
Amen. Well, Pastor Derek has been preaching for the past 2 weeks, triumphing in trials. How many of you like to go to trials? No, you must be crazy to like to go through trials, right? But God allows us to go through trials because it is through trials that your faith can be tested. In order for us to be mature believers, our faith must be tested. Let's look at what James 1, verses 2 to 4 says. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Everyone say patience. Yes. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Everyone say, I will lack nothing. And if you read this verse very carefully, God is trying to tell us how in this life as a believer will you come to a place where you lack nothing. Faith alone is not enough. You need to have patience. You need to have patience. If you can have faith and patience, you will inherit everything. And we understand that sometimes our faith may wane, it may waver. But during that time, patience must carry faith behind her back. Amen. Amen. And how many of you sometimes, you know, we have faith. We want to trust God to bring our, life partner, that man, that woman in our life. We pray, God, you are the God who loves me. You're going to bring me my Eve. You're going to bring me my Adam. We are so full of faith. However, our faith wins, right? When we wait for 1 month, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, and then somehow we start going into our, we try to help God. We say, it's time to help God. And then we go into Tinder and ding, 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 ding. Not that Tinder is nothing wrong with Tinder, all right? But we understand that faith and patience must work together. But what is the thing that affects patience is really discernment. What we are discerning, what God is doing or what God is not doing. When we discern that God is not doing, we judge him. Right? We need to have proper discernment of the times and season. When you pray, God says yes and amen, right? The Bible says every promises of God is yes and amen. So when you pray for something that you know is from God, God always say amen. But God always bring you through a process. But you cannot discern what is the time and the season. Maybe that season is not for you to be attached to someone, but God is training your character. God is trying to perfect you. God is trying to mold you into that good wife so that when you are ready, the good husband will come. Or God is trying to make you that good leader so the woman, when the woman comes, you are able to lead. But because you cannot discern, you want to get ahead of God. You want to take back the control that you're given to God. You want to take it back into your life. You want to take over the wheel and say, let me take over. I will drive myself to my destination. Everyone say, wow. So discernment is important. In this time of turbulence, we must, as a believer, as a body of Christ, as Jesus' follower, we must judge correctly without becoming judgmental. We must scrutinize everything that we hear and sense without being critical. We must have patience to work with God through our situations so that we do not become a casualty. Because we cannot discern God's timing and season, and we cannot discern God's processes. Everyone say, I will not be a casualty. Discernment is very important. And how do we define discernment? In the Cambridge Dictionary, it says to see, to recognize, to understand something that is not clear, to be able to decide something. You need discernment because something is not clear. In this time and age, there are many things in life that we are not clear of. We can see what's happening, but we do not understand the spiritual implication behind, the spiritual motivation, the spiritual manipulation behind it. So we need to have discernment. In the New Webster Dictionary, it says to see or to make out through any of our senses, to discriminate, to have insight, and to have perception. So beyond the surface, we must understand what is beneath. In every situation, we must understand what is behind. So all these things are hidden. And to discern is to use our senses to have in-depth understanding. So my question to you, followers of Christ, men and women of the Spirit, does this discernment of the senses also involve your spiritual senses? Yes, yes or no?
Yes.
Even so, yes. So natural wisdom versus divine discernment. We cannot live a life of clarity and purpose merely out of human wisdom or reasoning, having our thought and perception shaped by our culture or an unbiblical worldview. Eve was deceived, right? Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Is the tree evil? No. Created by God, nothing is evil. Is the fruit poisoned? No. The fruit represents the ability to discern good and evil. My question to you is, does God want you to know the difference between good and evil?
Yes.
Does God want you to have wisdom?
Yes.
Yes. So it is good. The fruit is good. But not everything that is good is God. God is all good. But not all good is God. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying? Because God was trying to show Adam and Eve that everything that opposes God's will, no matter how good, is still evil. One more time. Everything that opposes God's will, no matter how good it looks to you, it is evil. Can I hear amen?
Amen?
So we need to understand that we need to have discernment. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 to 16. It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we may know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words of men's wisdom teachers, but what the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things. So spiritual things must be spiritually discerned. And it is only through the Holy Spirit that we are able to judge correctly what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is bad, what is God, and what is evil. So hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit, hearing the voice of God, is the basis of all discernment. Amen. John 10, Jesus spoke to his disciples, my sheep hears my voice, and they follow me. 1 Corinthians 2 verses 9 to 10 talk about eyes has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things that he has prepared for those who loved him. But God has revealed to them, to us, through his Spirit. So when we commune with the Holy Spirit, when we have an intimate relationship with the Spirit of God, God, through the Spirit, will begin to allow you to comprehend what God has died on the cross for you. The grace that God has given to you, the mercy God has given to you, he will reveal to you the vastness of everything God has given to you. So when you have that revelation, when I had the revelation, the only thing I can do to repay God is to follow him all the way. Amen? When I have that revelation of how much grace was given to me, that I could have suffered everything my sin has put me through, but God had died in my place and took my punishment. The only thing I can do is say, God, I lay down my life to follow you. You see, when men do not have that intimate relationship with God, when they do not have that true understanding of the grace that we have been received, what do? We follow God half-heartedly. See, the Spirit of God was given to us to dwell within us so that he can remove the veil that obstruct our view. God is removing our veil so that we can understand and clearly discern the hidden things and process them in the light of his faith and his love. Now, discernment reveals the hidden things in the realm of the Spirit so that the body of Christ, all of us, can come to a greater level of health, of power, authority, and anointing. The Bible says the Spirit of God is a spirit of wisdom and understanding. Everything that you need comes from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a spirit of wisdom and understanding, counsel and might. He's the spirit of the fear of the Lord. So we must not be deceived. Turn to your neighbor and say, you shall not be deceived. Turn to your neighbor on the other side and say, you must develop discernment. So let's talk about deception. Now, deception destroys lives, marriages, and families. It robs people of their dreams. It steals you of your joy, your peace, and your health. Do you know that deception is an undercover strategy of the devil? Victims never realize that they are a target. Anyone has gone fishing before? Yes, I hate fishing. Because it requires a lot of patience. But if you've been fishing, you understand. The fisherman's objective is to deceive the fish into taking the bait. Am I right? The fish is unaware that he is the target of deception. But if the fish is tricked into going for that shiny lure, he will be hooked. Deception is always painted and devised to look somewhat shiny, to look somewhat sexy, to look somewhat attractive, to look something handsome, to look something strong and big that you can trust. You see, when we don't understand that, that is that hook behind the bait. There's always wanting to deceive you into believing what is false is true. So the power of deception is escalating throughout the world. And there is a cloud of confusion that clouds the world. People are being deceived into believing the most hilarious falsehood, ideas, and philosophies that sound so good, seem so reasonable to the human mind, but is totally against the ways and the will and the word of God. Deception has infiltrated every segment of society. The media, the government, the business, the family, as well as the church. Today, the church world embraces, some churches embraces doctrines that totally violate the word of God. Is there hope? Is there hope? Yes. there is hope. Turn to your neighbor, smile at them and say, there is hope. Because in the midst of the shaking, where God is shaking the heavens and the earth, the book of Revelation tells us that Jesus is coming back for a glorious church. He's coming back for a church that's anointed, beautiful, full of anointing, full of authority. Amen? Coming back for a bride that is wrinkle-free, that is full, free of the filth of this world, but full of the glory and the holiness of God. God says we are more than conquerors, and there is hope for everyone. While the world is heading to that destruction, the church will prosper. The church will see its greatest revival yet. And in Matthew 16, verse 18, Christ says that I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. However, in the midst of the trials, where God is allowing us to go through all that trials, the shaking has begun. We must make sure that we stand firm and not be casualty in that process. Amen? Amen? How to avoid deception. Today, I want to talk about five keys to develop discernment and to avoid deception. Are you ready? Yeah. Oh, only one person is ready. Are we ready? Yeah. Help me preach today, all right? There's a lot of movement here. Help me preach today so I can stay focused on what I'm trying to deliver today. Five keys to develop discernment and to avoid deception. Number one, be alert and watchful. Are you alert and watchful today? Yes. 1 Peter 5 verse 8 says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. The devil is hard at work, if you do not know. He is always walking around to see if you are a target for him to devour you. Understand that the very fact that you are seated here, you are already a target. Because he will not target the world. The world is already following him to where? To the pit of eternal death. But you are the children of light. You profess your faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. You are the one who is the most threat to the kingdom of darkness. And so you are the natural target. So you understand that he is watching to see when you slip. When you will open up your heart to deception. When you will entertain offense. When you will allow yourself to take control back of your life. You see, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13 say, be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous and be strong. Say together with me. Say, I will stand firm, in the faith. Romans 13, verse 11 says, knowing the time and now is, it is high time to awake out of our sleep. Awake, sleeper, one of the songs says. Awake, sleeper. Are you awake? Yes. I hope so. Because we are entering into a time of great turbulence. Matthew 26 verse 41 says, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So God is trying to tell us, you need to watch what is happening. Go into your prayer closet and pray. After you pray, come back out and watch. What is happening to your marriage today? What is happening to your children? What kind of influence they are coming under in school? Watch what is happening to your church. What is happening around us in society? And after you watch them, go back and pray and intercede for all that God has downloaded to you. That is God's will for us. The followers of Christ need to be awake and be on guard. Too many of us have become complacent. We are asleep. It is time to wake up and be aware of what is going around us and be sensitive to what spirit is at work. We need to be aware of the tactics and the devices of the powers of the darkness so that we are not outwitted and become a victim of deception. Look at what 2 Corinthians 2 verse 11 says. And this was Paul writing to the Corinthians church. and telling them how to deal with offenses. It says, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are unaware of his schemes. So this is one of the schemes. The Bible says, we will be offended. Offense will come. So this is one of the devices that Satan wants you to be offended. So the Bible tells us that when we are offended, we need to quickly forgive. We need to ask God to heal us and set us free from the entrapment. But how many believers in the body of Christ are offended? Amen? That's why they are no longer attending church. It takes them so many years to trust again and come back to church. And even when they come back to church, they will sit at the back and not want to engage because they're so afraid to be let down, disappointed, and hurt again. But the offense is a device of demons. I remember many years ago, before we came out here to the U.S., I had an encounter that caused me to be very, very offended. And we knew that God was calling us into a new work. And during that time in our church, we had two leaders who came and approached us and accused Derek and I for not being loyal to the church. So they didn't have full information. So they had part of the information and they jumped on it and the devil used them to hail accusations about our integrity. I was very hurt then. I felt so unjustified. I felt that all these years I fought for the church. Derek and I, we would sacrifice to build the house. I would, it was always my desire to be financially independent so that I can help the church. I discipled 250 people as a lay leader. I don't collect a single penny from the church. I raised up many leaders. I've sacrificed many hours. I've sacrificed time with my husband and my children to serve the house of God. To be accused that I do not love the church, to be accused that I did not, fight for the benefit of the church, it was very disheartening. That night, after that accusation, I cried and I cried and I cried. I never cried so much in my life, Derek knows. When I went home that day, I discerned in my spirit what the devil is intending to do with this episode. He wants me to fall into the pit of offense. And if I'm offended, it will take many years for me to get out of that pit. And I cannot start a new ministry there. Because how you end one season is how you begin. So I knew I had to do something. That night before I went to bed, I prayed. I said, Lord, you need to rescue me. You need to help me. See, as women, we're very emotionally led, right? And especially when, we are accused. Our husband is accused. We rise up to the occasion and we want to, bulldoze everyone over. So I prayed. I said, God, you need to rescue me. You need to save me. I make a decision to forgive and release all judgment. I know what the devil wants and I will not fall into that trap. That night, I had a prophetic dream. So fast, immediately I had a prophetic dream. I was in this sea, all pitch dark. I was in this little boat. And the waves started coming. Storm was in the horizon. And then I saw hands coming out from the dark waters. And the hands was trying to rock the boat so that I would capsize. And at the very moment, I rose up in my spirit and I say, Jesus! And then that dream stopped. In the morning when I woke up, I could see the evidence of that episode because when I look into the mirror, my eyes were swollen. Because I've cried so much, my eyes were swollen. However, when I checked my heart, there was no residue of judgment. There was no residue of anger or unforgiveness. In fact, the very Sunday, when I saw their two leaders, I went up to them and I gave them a hug. I said, I forgive you. I know that you did it because you love the church. So we must stay alert. Everyone say, stay alert.
Stay alert.
Number two, know the word of God and do the word of God. Recognize that there are absolutes which are found in the word of God. absolute means it cannot be changed, it cannot be influenced, it cannot be tweaked, it cannot be, you know, modified. These are absolutes. And that's why the devil through the world is trying to cancel the Bible. Cancel the Word of God. We must know the Word of God. As people of God, we must know the Word of God. In fact, it must be our whole life's aspiration to understand every instructions from our Father in heaven. You will be susceptible to be deceived if you do not know what God said. The Word is our plumb line. It establishes the true north to which we always calibrate. This is the foundation of developing spiritual discernment and exposing deception. The Word of God is our foundation. Amen. So do you know what the Word of God says? Do you know what the Word of God says when it comes to pride? Do you know what the Word of God says when it comes to relationship between men and women? Do you know what the Word of God says when we rebel, when we are in rebellion? What does the Word of God says? Do you understand from the Word of God how much God loves you? Do you understand from the Word of God how much God is willing to fight for you? We need to learn the Word of God. We need to understand the Word of God. We live in a hostile environment. Am I right? Turn to your neighbor and say, be alert. Stay with me, all right? We live in a hostile environment that opposes God's order and values. And having spiritual discernment requires us to make a judgment call. Many a times, believers do not make a judgment call. We sit on the fence and everything is A-okay. It is your opinion. Oh, so be it. Oh, you have a different opinion? So be it. We allow our opinions to drive us. And that is why the body of Christ is fractured. We are divided because we are led by our opinions. We are not led by the truth in the Word of God. We are not led by the absolutes in the Word of God. Amen? Amen. We all can have our opinion. But do you know what the Word of God says? That God hates division. Because unity is a precursor to power. And because we are not unified to build what God wants to build, division robs us of the ability to move the kingdom forward. So, what is more important, our opinion or the unity of the kingdom? Jesus said, men shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes forth out of the mouth of God. We must feed on God's word every day, guys. Amen. Read the word, not religiously. Read the word because you want to understand Jesus. Read the word because you want to hear your Father speak to you. Read the word because it is a word that will give you life. We must meditate on the word, speak the word, hear from the word. Once a month, you get a holy communion. Am I right? That little cup with a little wine and a wafer. And whenever we take of the wafer, we say, this is the body of Christ that has been broken for you. Eat as often as you eat it, remember him. The wafer is the body of Christ. But John says, John chapter 1, says what? In the beginning is the Word. The Word was God. The Word was with God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So that piece of wafer, you eat that piece of wafer, but you don't read the Word? Because that wafer represents the Word of God. So you eat the wafer once a month, but you don't eat the flesh of the Word of God, the body of Christ, every day by reading the Word? Do you understand what I'm saying here? We can perform certain ritual and we become religious. But true spirituality means that you eat the Word of God, follow God, and be totally transformed to be little Christ. Amen. Amen? So let's not eat the Holy Communion and eat the wafer and say, oh, I fulfilled my duty. But that every day we eat the body of Christ through the reading of the Word, ingesting the Word, and let the Word manifest Him inside of us. Amen? Amen. So let's be doers of the word. Turn to your neighbor and say, be doers of the word. Amen. Oh, that's so weak. One more time, say, be doers of the word. Come on, guys. Stay awake. Stay alert. Number two, know the word, do the word. Number three, guard your heart. Everyone say, I will guard my heart. Because deception begins in your heart as a result of honoring your will against God's will. Deception begins in your heart when you honor God's, your own will above God's will. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Today's mantra of the world says what? Simply follow your heart. Follow your heart. If you don't know anything, look deep on the inside of you and you will find the answers to your life. Totally unbiblical. Let me tell you that, because if you look really, really look at your heart, you will see what's in your heart. Pride, rebellion, covetousness, manipulation, seduction, immorality. All these, when I look into my heart, that's what I see. So I thank God that the Spirit of God came so that we can be cleansed in our heart. James, you know, even those who are religiously minded, you know that they can have their heart deceived as well. James 1:26 says, those who consider themselves religious yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Is worthless. The heart can be polluted by pride, greed, apathy, unforgiveness, so on and so forth, and offense. They are all breeding ground for deception. Do you know, do you realize, once you're offended, you get offended easily? Have you met people like that? They are offended somehow, you know. Yeah, they may be offended by their previous church, and then when they come to this church, everything offends them. Yeah. Right? When the pastor wears yellow, it offends them. You understand that that is how the devil entraps us. The devil deceives us. The devil can deceive us. We can be deceived by what? Demons. We can be deceived by people. We can also deceive ourselves. Amen? So let us guard our heart. Say it together with me one more time. Say, I will guard my heart. Number four, we must stay in right relationships. We must stay in right relationships. God has created us to be relational. Relationships is what we are made for. That's why there are so much of pain and depression and suicide. A lot of them has got to do with broken down relationships. Broken down relationships. I can't tell you how many people write in to us. Every time they write in, they say, please pray for my relationship with so-and-so, because it's broken. I do not know how to restore it. 9 out of 10 times is always about relationships. But God wants us to first build our relationship with Him. The relationship with God is our plumb line of all other relationships. The relationship with God must set the foundation. If we don't relate to God properly, our relationship with one another is dysfunctional. Amen? Amen. We only relate because of what I can get from you. How it will benefit me when I relate to you. But when we have a relationship with God, God doesn't expect anything from us, except that we trust and follow Him. Amen? Amen. But He gives the best to us. His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And through Him, the Holy Spirit. And through the Holy Spirit, all things in the heavenlies. And on top of our relationship with God, we must have relationship with other believers as well. The Bible says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Fellowship with each other, and that is the strength of City Harvest Church. Because we believe that you're not just here to sit and listen to someone preach every Sunday and leave the church. The church is a family, and family means, oh my gosh, I'm not doing a great job today. Family means relationships. One more time. Church is a family, and family means?
Relationships.
What is a family when we don't have relationship? We're just probably housemates. Am I right? We need each other. Turn to your neighbor and say, I need you. See, one of the biggest trap and danger for deception is when we are doing life alone. When believers are isolated, you are the easy target for deception. Am I right? Yeah, and most people like to do that. When they're going through trials, instead of running to God, they run away from God. Instead of coming into the house of God so that they can see clearly, they want to be isolated. That is the scheme of demons. And if you are a smart cookie, then you will not do that. Because the moment you isolate yourself, darkness compounds. Look at Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was in the brink of much torture. He knew that he is going to be crucified. He knew that he's going to be dragged through the streets and naked and whipped and crowned and spit at and hail accusations at. He was terrified. He was struggling. So when he came to the Garden of Gethsemane, he was wanting to draw strength from God. And he brought his three best friends, Peter, James, and John. How many of you know when you're going through a valley, friendship is very important? Yeah. You want to be there, you want to have friends who will encourage you, speak the truth, cover you in love, and encourage you. Yeah. He brought Peter, James, and John because they were the closest friends he had. But when he went into the Garden of Gethsemane, the devil was there. You see, Peter, James, and John couldn't stay awake. The spirit of stupor came upon them. Because you know, it's out of character when Jesus himself went to wake them up. Wake up, wake up. Pray with me. Can you not tarry with me for an hour? You understand the disciples had followed Jesus everywhere. They had done overnight crusades. They are not people who are sleepy and sluggish. Am I right? But something came upon them. And even though a few times Jesus went and waked them up, they could not wake up. You see, the devil is trying to isolate you when you're going through that journey. He was trying to isolate the Lord so that he will give up what he was trying to do. But the devil didn't know that even though Peter, James, and John were not there for him, his Father was always there. Because he was never, ever alone. But having said that, God doesn't never want us to go through journeys alone. He's always giving people to us, relationship, so that we will be saved. Proverbs 11 verse 14 says, "For where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety." So when we go through things, we must seek counsel. But who do we seek counsel from? We must seek counsel from people whom we trust, people who has our heart, people who are spiritual, people who will guide us in the right place. And that's why the church is so powerful, that you will find people who are further along, people who are spiritual, that will help you discern what you cannot see. And all God's people say,
amen.
Amen. So be alert and watchful. Know the word of God, do the word of God, guard your heart. Number four, what did we say? Stay in the right relationships. And number five, ask God for help. Right. Everyone say, help.
Help.
Ask God for help. Realizing that we don't inherently know all that we need to know is another fundamental principle for developing spiritual discernment. And King Solomon in 1 Kings 3, he was about to rule a great nation. He was a young lad then. And so he cried out to God after he had sacrificed 1,000 bull. The Lord knocked at his door in the middle of the night and said, ask, what do you want? Solomon, though was a young man, was very wise already. He said, I ask of you for discernment, to discern between good and evil. And you heard the story that God was so pleased with him that not only did he give him, make him the wisest man ever lived, he gave him all the wealth that he became the richest man ever lived. We understand in Proverbs 16, verse 25, it says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. So you see, when you don't discern and you're just using your human wisdom to discern things, you never know. Something that rosy, a nice, delicious apple, can be the very thing that will poison you and put to death all that you have worked for. We need to ask God for help. And God says, whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Everyone say, help! Ask God for help, right? So be alert and watchful. Know the word of God. Do the word of God. Guard your heart. Stay in the right relationship. Ask God for help. Everyone say, develop discernment.
Develop discernment.
One more time. Let's say a little bit louder. Say, develop discernment.
Discern deception.
We need to develop discernment and discern deception. And because deception will mark the end of this age. Before Christ comes back, deception will mark the end of this age. And why a lot of young people are depressed? Because you have been deceived. To think that there's no hope, that God cannot save you, that there's no way you are going to untangle the knot in your heart. Let me tell you that God is able. Do not be deceived. Put your trust in God. And God will do above and beyond whatever you can ever imagine or think of. Trust Him again. Put your faith in Him again. And take your eyes off people. Deceptions are going to be enhanced in the end times by signs and wonders, miracles. That is why it's even more dangerous. If we don't learn how to discern, we will be led away by all the miracles, signs, and wonders that we see, because not every miracle is from God. So do we have the ability to discern? Matthew 24, verses 4 to 7, Jesus said to them, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nations will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines, there will be pestilence, earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrow. So you will not be deceived. Turn to your neighbor again and say, you will not be deceived. You are not troubled because you are not deceived. Why? Because you know God reigns. Because even though there are wars and rumors of war, God will empower the people to rise up in our occasion, and God will protect us if we do not lose faith and lose hope. Amen. Finally, Jesus said, and God, Jesus instructed us, you must be wise as what? Serpents, but harmless as doves. So when you talk about serpent, it reminds me the first serpent that ever appeared in the story of the Bible, and that is in the Garden of Eden. And so today, that is where we're going to end up and we're going to wrap up today. We are going to return back to the Garden of Eden and talk about the first Adam and the first Eve. The first Eve was created to desire for wisdom. That's why she craved for that fruit, to know the knowledge of good and evil. She was desired for wisdom, but lacked the maturity to discern. Am I right? Satan sowed a contradicting thought into Eve's mind, challenging the instructions of God that came from Adam. He casted a doubt in her mind to think that she has mistaken what God was saying. And the Bible said she was deceived. Eve was naive and did not perceive evil speaking to her. You see, she lacked discernment. She did not perceive that evil was speaking to her, and she chose to entertain the second voice. And through his deception, she lost her innocence. Eve was innocent, but she was naive. So we understand that it is important that we have discernment. God wants us to be innocent like a child. And in Luke 18, it talks about innocence is power. If you want to come into the kingdom of God, you must be innocent like a child. How many of you know a child is innocent, right? And he or she, when they are young, they will believe everything that you said. You say broccoli is good for you to grow taller, they will eat it. Because they believe you. Amen. I wish I said that to my kids, but anyway. God wants us to be innocent like a child, but he does not want us to be naive. Can I hear amen? Amen. Turn to your neighbor one more time and say, you must not be naive. Naivete is the opposite of innocence. While innocence yields all control to good and good only, naivete allows whatever influence to affect and control you, good or bad. While innocence is stable, naivete is unstable. Innocence is alert and aware. Naivete is blind and ignorant. Naivete is a type of ignorance of present good, while innocence is a force for good, springing out from the very nature of God on the inside of us. Eve was naive, and hence she gave up the first voice which originated from God. And she gave power to the second voice, and henceforth destruction enters through her life and everything else is destroyed. God must be your first voice, without which you and I will be constantly tormented in our mind by anxiety and fear. The Bible says in James that we are not to be double-minded. Say, I will not be double-minded. But actually, how did it happen that we become double-minded? You are double-minded because you cannot trust God. So the real question is, can you trust God? If God had died for you, can you trust him that he will take care of you here on earth? If God can be your God and save you from the uttermost so that and to give you a ever-expanding, spacious life, will you trust him that he will find a wife for you or a husband for you? If he is the glorious God who desires to give, who desires to provide for his children, can you trust him that he knows your financial situation and is working in ways to bring order? Can you trust God? The reason why we have double mind is because we cannot trust God. We constantly want to take control back into our life. That's why we are tormented. But when you set your heart on God, faith and patience will see you through. That you will inherit all things. And can I hear amen? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 2 to 4. Talks about how we should not be shaken in mind or in trouble. Verse 3, it says, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. So right now, God is shaking the world because a church that is compromised, a church that has mixture, a church that is entertaining the world has no power to deliver the world. Yeah. Only a church that is countercultural, a church that rises up in her holiness, will be able to deliver the world out of the powers of darkness. So what God is doing right now, and this is a prophetic saying, he is shaking all of us to see if we will truly stand firm in our faith. Because the remnant must arise. The pure at heart must arise. The strong in faith must arise. The warriors must arise. The men and women called by God must arise. And they have only one goal and one goal alone. And that's to raise up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in his name, all knees must bow and all tongues must confess. Amen. This is what is happening right now. And there is a certain number that will fall away. The Bible says 1/3 of the elite will fall away. And we are waiting for the 1/3 to fall away. And I pray in my heart, as your pastor, that you will not be counted in that one third that's falling away, but that you will stand firm to the very end, because glory is coming. So verse 15 says, stand fast. Everyone say, I will stand fast. Hold the tradition. Say, hold the traditions. Keep the word of God close to your heart. Hold on to what you have been taught. Hold on to the foundation of God so that you will not be shaken. In the Garden of Eden, the first Adam and the first Eve failed. But God raised up a last Adam, Jesus Christ. And in the book of Corinthians, Paul bring about a parallel between Christ and the church to a marriage relationship between a husband and a wife. And in writing to the Corinthians church, he said, woman was made for men. And that was what? Was echoing what Genesis had written. And in the same passage, he began to refer to Jesus as the last Adam. Now, in conclusion, the church is the bride of Christ, right? The church is the bride of Christ. So, last Adam, the church is the last Adam, last Eve. Everyone say last Eve. Last Eve. Men and women right now form the church. Both are symbolical of the women in the Bible, the last Eve. However, in a more microscopic perspective, if every man represents Christ in a marriage, then every woman represents the last Eve. Amen? Can I hear amen? Amen. Men and women together manifest the likeness and the glory of the Creator. Men and women have different roles and assume different authorities, but one cannot do without the other. In some ways, this is reflected in the game of chess, right? I don't play chess. My son does. So I'm going to just illustrate it the best I could. In the game of chess, the queen has more freedom, right? The queen has more freedom. But the king is the one that needs to be protected. The king is the most important piece in the chessboard. Am I right? And the king can only move one step at a time. Am I right? And because he can move one step at a time only, he is very vulnerable. So the game is, we need to not only attack the enemy's king, but we need to protect our own king. That's where the queen comes in. The queen is the second most important piece in the chessboard. But the queen can move in several directions and several ways. And that makes the queen a very, very useful piece that could really eliminate all her enemies. At the same time, if your queen is destroyed, then you lose this very important advantage in the game. I want to invite Derek to come up. This is a beautiful picture of how men and women must stand together to fight against the enemies that have come to attack the kingdom of God and to destroy his people. The last Eve must return to innocence, but she must never ever be naive and open herself to wrong influences. The women of God are just like the chess piece on the board, the queen. We have spiritual mobility because that's how God wired us. But we need to understand we are the weaker vessel according to the Bible. We are weaker because of our emotions. Physically, of course, we are weaker. But our emotions, we are weaker. And because we are the weaker vessels, we are vulnerable to attacks from demons. But we are essential because we are the weapon in the hands of the men. Because of our spiritual mobility, we can discern the things of the unseen. A certain dimension has been given to us. But women alone is not enough. In the Garden of Eden, God created Adam. And God said to Adam, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. Eve was not there yet. Eve was in Adam. But God gave the mandate to Adam to lead Eve, to fill the earth, create culture, harness the world, and build a world that is according to God's order. So I want to illustrate. This is Adam. Adam was supposed to have vision, courage, to lead and to conquer. That's what man is created to. Every man desires to build, desires to conquer, desires to do great things. That's who the man is.
All the men said. Oh, come on, all the men said.
But man has a blind sight. Man has a blind sight. So that's why God had to take Eve out of the man so that Eve, together with the man, can cover his blind sight. What man cannot see, the woman can see. What the woman cannot discern, the man needs her discernment. But because we are the weaker vessel, the man needs to also discern as well. Do not leave your discernment to the woman, because she is susceptible to deception. Likewise, the man. So when we are able to lead together, he covers my blind side, I cover his. We are able to then conquer the world without and have 360 degrees of sight all over. That's why for many years, God has downloaded to me the end time strategy to bring the kingdom back into order. And that's why recently I've written a book called The Last Eve and Our End Time Assignment. This book is going to be launched in August, and in conjunction with the book, we're launching our very first inaugural City Harvest Women's Conference. Yeah. Amen. And it will start in August, from August 4th to 6th. And there are many speakers. There are, Apostle Michelle McLean. She's the writer of many books. The Esther's Anointing, Deborah's Anointing, Sarah's Anointing. She's a prophetic, very prophetic woman. And she will be coming to preach to us. Wendy Burbeck from Santa Cruz Freedom House. She is strong in preaching in the area of holiness and also inner healing. She'll be coming to also share the platform. You will be tremendously blessed, not only through revelation, but a imparting of anointing and also healing that you will receive. But you understand that Eve cannot operate on her own. With the last Eve, we also need to walk alongside together with the last Adam. And the last Adam represents every man in our generation with the Lord and also the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. What the first Eve failed to do, the last Eve must accomplish.